Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
Hello, this is Liliana Segura, Associate Editor at The Nation Magazine, and I'm here today with Derek McGee, who's the author of a new piece in the current issue, The Occupied and the Occupier, an Iraq vet's journey from Wall Street to Occupy Wall Street. Derek is also the author of a collection of essays called When I Wished I Was Here, Dispatches from Fallujah. Thank you for coming in today, Derek.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So your piece opens with a very different kind of occupation, which also took place in Lower Manhattan 10 years ago. Can you explain what you were doing there at the time and how you saw the country change in the decade that followed?
Sure. Well, we got asked to volunteer to come down to the World Trade Center area. It was probably a week or two after September 11th to just help out in whatever way we could. We were actually working, I believe, with the New York Naval Militia. So I wasn't with, I was with people from my Marine unit, but we weren't under the jurisdiction of the Marines. And what we did was basically do guard duty and check IDs and that sort of thing. We didn't carry weapons or anything like that, but for some reason they thought that having the sight of people in uniform was going to help put people's minds at ease. And so we came down, and we were living in Battery Park and also in the court building and in tents in Battery Park. And we, you know, worked long hours and that sort of thing. And it was, what was great about it was that anything that we wanted was offered by people that were trying to give it away. People were, you know, you'd be on guard duty, people would come up and try to give you coffees. People would give you flowers. And then people had these, there were these like tents where they had any kind of thing, like, you know, blankets, inner, you know, soles, shoe soles, sandwiches, everything. It was just basically trying to get free massages, meals. It was just everyone was being so kind to each other. And it was just the first time that I've ever seen that many people behaving so decently. And it was kind of a remarkable time, as much as it was, you know, an awful time for what, you know, had taken place and what caused all this. It was also great to see that people could actually have this capacity.
So your piece describes that feeling, you know, that the sort of whole world in that moment seemed to feel a certain amount of empathy. But then you describe, you know, the 10 years that follow as sort of going downhill in some ways, and some of the mistakes that were made that eventually led you to Occupy. Can you explain what some of that was?
Well, I mean, obviously the big start to that would be the invasion of Iraq, which is pointed out now as, oh, that was the best intelligence we had, and that was, everyone believed that was what was the right thing to do, and that sort of thing, which I find a bit of a revisionist history. Looking back, I remember strongly feeling that there was clear evidence that this was not a good idea. And if you looked outside of sort of the official word from the government, there was evidence all over the place. And, you know, I wasn't a particularly, astute person at the time or anything like that, but I was able to quickly determine that going into Iraq was a mistake, that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And I was a bit, shocked at how so many people could be fooled. It was kind of alarming and scary. And it was capitalizing on fear and taking it and running with it and saying, where everyone else was saying this is a great time to come together, you had people, it seems like, saying this is a great time to sort of pass some legislation taking away rights because everyone's so afraid it'll be easy to push it right through. This is a great time to go and launch an aggressive attack on another country because people will just okay it. And so I feel like there was just a tendency to take advantage of everyone's sense of fear and mislead them.
And after you served yourself two tours, you went to work in the financial industry, and your depiction of that period is pretty bleak. And yet, when the first protesters gathered in Zuccotti, you seemed pretty skeptical. What ultimately convinced you that it was something worth checking out?
Well, you know, my time in I guess it does come across as bleak. You got to remember too that I started and became a financial advisor managing people's money. You know, I think at one point I had $8 million of clients' money I was managing right before everyone started losing money, which, so it was personally a bleak time because people are, you know, trusting you and you're just every day watching people's retirement money go down and stuff like that, which is just personally devastating. But also, I was disillusioned a lot too because at the same time that everything was falling apart, we had, you know, officially the company we were working for was just lying to us and, you know, putting us in these conference rooms and showing us these videos of, you know, the head of the company saying, we have plenty of money, there's nothing to worry about, you know, keep buying the stock, it's great. And it was just, and everything was falling apart around it, and they knew it, and they were lying to their own employees, and it just made me very disillusioned with the entire sort of corporate entity that could do this and not even feel bad.
And then, so you left the financial industry, resolved sort of not to do that again, and found yourself amidst a group of protesters that you previously had felt that you had nothing in common with. Mm-hmm. So in addition to being a kind of personal journey, this piece is very much a defense of the Occupy movement. Why did you feel that it needed defending?
Well, I feel like they were being unfairly judged. I mean, there were people here that... Protesting isn't easy. Occupation isn't easy. It's not something you do because you have nothing else going on. It's something that people, you know, were traveling far to come do. They were taking off of work. They were finding babysitters. They were doing all these things to come down here and make an extra effort to do this. And they were being labeled as sort of lazy people. And I think lazy is seeing stuff wrong all around you and just not bothering to do anything about it. I mean, standing up and going out and living in a park or the most people that just came down to march when they could, that shows an effort to want to make things better. And I think the lazy people are those that just accept the status quo and say, things are a mess, but someone else will fix it.
Again, the piece is The Occupied and the Occupier by Derek McGee. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.